Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
April 23rd, Halacha. We're going to be doing Sfirasa Omer. And so there's two different parts of the Sfirasa Omer. As I mentioned before, there's the counting, which is Tuf Pei Tes, which is on page 187. And then there is the halachos of what we don't do because of the Avelus, and that's Tuf Tzadi Gimel, which is on page 197. So we can go with either one over here. What's our, what's the main interest?
Counting. We're voting. I'm going to ask, presumably there's not time for both?
Well, we can do both. Over the next few days.
Okay,
so let's go with Tuf Pei Tes to start. Okay, now we won't start right from the beginning. Well, because it talks about the second night of Pesach, which is when we started counting. All right, let's read it because it will give us some background about the whole thing. The second night of Pesach after Ma'ariv Masum Lispor Omer, you begin counting the Omer. If you forgot to count in the beginning of the night, you can count the entire night. It is a mitzvah upon each person to count on their own. In other words, you can't count for somebody else. Everybody's going to count. And one should count standing up. And they should make a bracha before they count. Obviously, if a person cannot stand up, they can count sitting down. But if they can stand up, they should. And they make a bracha beforehand. The sofer hayamim v'hashvuos, and you count the days and the weeks. Ketzad, how is this? Bayom rishon omer hayom yom echad, either ba'omer or la'omer, depending on your minhag. You say today is the first day of the omer. Ad shemagia lezayin yom, until you get to 1 week. Va'az yomer hayom shiva yomim shehim shavu echad, either ba'omer or la'omer. You say today is 7 days, which is 1 week in the Omer. I happen to say Ba Omer, but in the yeshiva, you know, so they say La Omer. So, you know, whatever you. Yeah. Uviyom Ches on the 8th day, Yomer Hayom Shmona Yomim Shehim Shavu Echad Viyomer Chad Ba Omer, and you say today is the 8th day, which is 1 week and 1 day in the Omer. Bechein Ad Sheagila Arba Asar Yom Vaba Le Arba Asar. That you do the same thing until you get to the 14th. Yom ha'yom arba asra yom shem shnei shavuos ba'omer. You say today is the 14th day, which is the 2 weeks into the Omer. V'al derech zeh mo nevahalich ad mem tes yom. In this method, you go until day 49. So that's pretty straightforward what you do. Now, just a couple of notes, which is that that when he wrote that if you did not count in the beginning of the night, you can count the entire night. Somebody asked me an interesting question tonight. He said to me that we're going to talk about soon whether you can, how early in the night you can count. So you know that we count during Beit HaShemashos, even though it's not yet Pesach Kochavim, we are willing to count. We'll see about that as we go along over here. So he told me that he always counts after Pesach Kochavim. So he doesn't count at Ma'ariv. He always waits and counts later. You know, we'll see about that. He said that tonight something happened and he counted earlier, meaning not too early, but he counted earlier than he normally does. He counted after Shkia, but before Tzeisak HaKavim. So he wanted to know if tomorrow night you can go back to his regular system of counting after Tzeisak HaKavim. In other words, can you change the time of the night that you count each night? That was his question. So it's interesting to me that he asked the question.
I would never have thought to answer that question.
You?
I would never have thought to ask that question.
You never even thought to ask that question. Yeah. It seems obvious that you can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not where I thought.
And, right, and that is the halacha, that you can change the time that you count. You don't need to be exactly the same time. But I suppose the reason why he asked this question is because I guess he was thinking that you're counting perhaps every 24 hours, you know, at a specific time. I'm not sure exactly why he thought that. But, of course, that is the halacha. You can count at any point during the proper time.
Is it more machmir to count after and say?
Well, it is better to count. We'll see about Shkia, about Ben Hashmashas and Tseis. We'll see about that in a moment. But at least after Tseis, it is better to count earlier, like any mitzvah, it's better to do it as early as possible, not to push it off because of his reasons. So that's always the best thing to do. But about Ben Hashmash, that we'll see in a few minutes.
Since it says you can count all night, the question would be, until what point you don't remember, oh my gosh, it's Elos HaShachar, but it's not yet
right.
Sunrise, can I count the bracha or not?
Right. So he mentions it. Let's see. Hold on. I'm pretty sure you can count even after Elos if you have to with a bracha. Yeah, okay, it doesn't say here. Okay, I think it comes up later. So let's
okay.
see. Hold that thought.
Okay.
Only a doctor would ask that question. Or someone who just had a baby. Okay. Babe. Imto biyom ha-me'unan, if they made a mistake on a cloudy day, they thought it was nighttime and it wasn't really nighttime. Ubarchu al-sfira sa'omer, they made a bracha of sfira sa'omer, and they counted and it was too early. Chozrim lisbar mishetechshach, they have to go back and count again after it gets dark, because they counted too early. So they need to recount after it gets dark, and they have to make a bracha, because when they counted, it didn't count. Right? Okay. V'hamidaktikim, and those who are careful, einam soifim ad teisak rechavim, they don't count, Terry, this is the answer to your question, they don't count until after teisak rechavim, v'chein roi lasos, and that's appropriate to do, not to count until after teisak rechavim. However, it's like this. You see, the question is, Sfiras HaOmer, is it Daraisa or is it Rabbanan? So most posts can say it's Rabbanan. So if it's Rabbanan, we know that a suffix on a Rabbanan, you go Lekula, lean it. So, Ben HaShemash is a suffix, whether it's day or night, so we can be lenient and count at that time.
The Torah doesn't tell us to count the Omer?
It does. The question is, today, when there's no Karban HaOmer, and there's no Beis HaMikdash, so then is it Daraisa or Rabbanan? So most places say it's Rabbanan, and therefore really during Ben HaShemashos would be okay. There is an extra hidur, an extra special, those who are extra careful count after it says like a chavim. It's not worth it if you're afraid you're going to forget. Right? If you're in the minyan and they're counting already, and then you're going to say, you know what, I want to be extra careful, I'll count later. And then you might forget it to count entirely. So that's not worth it. It's only worth it if...
Done that.
Right, and we've all done that. Right. So it's only worth it if you know for sure you're going to remember. So if you have a set thing, you count before you go to bed, whatever it is, you have something that reminds you, or you daven at a later Ma'ariv. Those sort of things. But if you're davening at the typical Ma'ariv after Shkia, it's probably best to count then when they count. That way you won't forget.
Are we going to discuss whether women should count
them? Yeah, that we'll discuss as well. Actually, I think we ought to cover that up because he said that it's a mitzvah on everybody to count. So, the issue of women counting, some say that women should not count with a bracha because since it is likely that they will forget a night, so in the end, they won't count all 49 days. And therefore, they should not count with a bracha in the first place. Better than a man should count on their behalf. That's what some say.
That would go against that opinion that each night is its own separate bracha.
Right. So this we're going to get to in a moment. But as you know,
also you can't. We just learned that you can't count for someone else.
Right. But what that opinion suggests is that a man should make a bracha for a woman, and then they both count. And if you already were yotze, you're chiv, you can't make another bracha
right,
for her.
Right. But if I know someone that doesn't count with the minyan
right.
because he says, I go home and I count with my wife.
Right. So I used to do that because of this opinion. And then I spoke to my rabbi about it, and he said, no, you can just remind her to make a bracha. That's fine. You know, she can make a bracha too. There's no, you know, he didn't feel that it was necessary to do it that way.
But if she misses a night,
just like a man, then she cannot count. If she misses all 24 hours, then she cannot count
so
with a bracha anymore.
Even
though it seems to be a time.
That's part of the question also. That explains the time.
But you have time to do it. I mean, you have like a full 12 hours. It's not like...
That's true, but any mitzvah that is, even if the time is a lengthy time, still if it's bound by time, then a woman's part of it. Yeah.
The sfarim even come from women is not to count the bracha.
Right. I'm pretty sure he's going to bring it up in a few minutes, so let's continue reading and we'll see what gets covered with the Gimel. Hamispao imat tzibor viva od yom, someone who is davening with the tzibor while it's still daytime, which some say this means ben ashmashos. Mayna imayim below bracha, then you count with them without a bracha. Vimizka balaylo yivarech v'yispar. Then, when nighttime comes, then you make a bracha and count. So that's another alternative, that you can, when you are at Ma'ariv, and it's before Tesach Kaichavim, you can count without a bracha. And have in mind that if you remember later, you don't want to be a tenel. That would be the way to do it.
That's a lot in mind.
Right. That is another answer if you so choose to do it that way. Vafilu on the amen al birchas hakahol. Even if you answered amen to the bracha that the Rav said, in my adaito shalolates, if you had in mind not to be yotze, yachshav yivarech v'yispar, b'layla, you can go back and make a bracha and count at night. So even if you said amen to the bracha of the chazan or the Rav, as long as you had in mind that you don't want to be yotze now, you can still count as a bracha.
I can say that loud. I'm not going to be yotze now.
You think that. That's fine. Dallin, here's the famous case. Someone who asks you, Ben Ashmashos, what night is tonight? How much are we up to? Yomaloi, you should say to him, Esmo hayakach v'kach. Yesterday was such and such. My father always likes to say on the second night of Pesach, yesterday was 365. Or 354.
How come nobody, instead of saying yesterday was the 19th, why don't you say tomorrow is the 21st?
You could do that too.
And maybe yesterday tomorrow by mistake.
You could do that too. Shin yomalo hayom kach v'kach, you say tonight is such and such, eno yachol lachzar v'limnos. The bracha, and you can't go back and count with a bracha because you already counted. If you said tonight is such and such, you say tonight is 8, then you've already been yotzei. Aval kana ben ashmashos, but before ben ashmashos, kivin chein zman sfira, since it's not yet the time of sfira, in b'kach klum. So if tonight is going to be the 8th night, but we're not there yet, and I say tonight is the 8th night, I haven't done anything yet because it's too early. It's like sitting in the sukkah before sukkahs. I didn't do anything. Hagav uchashigia hazman. Once the time for counting comes, asurin lechol, you're not allowed to sit down to a big meal, ad sheyispor, until you count. Vafilu hiskol lechol, even if you began to eat, paisik, you should stop eating the sefer and you should count and then go back to your eating. Meal, however, in hiskol lechol, kaidem shegiyah hazman, if you began to eat before the time of counting, ein tzarech lahafsik, you do not need to stop, al gaimer achilasa v'sefer achkach, you can finish eating and then count afterwards, because you started when you were allowed to start. But since if you started your meal when you shouldn't have started, then you need to stop in the middle, count, and then continue counting. So let me address this first and go back to the other case. The classic time this comes up is on Friday night when we dive in early. So if you dive in early and then you sit down to your meal, so... What's that?
It's still too early.
Assuming you don't dilly-dally and shul too much, when you get home, it's still too early to count. It's also too early to do the other thing you have to do, which is say Shema. Right. So because it's not yet the time for Shema, nor is it the time for Sfira, then you're allowed to begin your meal. Once you have begun your meal, you do not need to stop in the middle in order to count Sfira or to say Shema.
It's not likely you'll forget.
Well, it's because you started Beheter, because you started when you're allowed to start. But you do need to have some. You need to make sure that you remember after the meal to both count Sfira and say Kriya Shema. Now, the truth is that Kriya Shema, once you're within a half an hour of the time that you can say Kriya Shema, you're really not supposed to start a meal either. But Friday night, we start so early, davening doesn't take that long. Usually, you're home and you're beginning the meal way before the time for Kriya Shema or for Sfira Sa'ira. It is recommended, though, to have some sort of a reminder that you should not forget to do both those things. What I personally do is I just usually take the inside of the tie and put it back through twice, put it through the loop twice. That way I can't take my tie off at night.
I remember.
I mentioned this here.
No, sounds good.
Right. So presumably I'm going to have to take off my tie before I go to bed. At least I hope so. So in the worst case scenario, I'm taking off my tie and it gets caught and I say, oh, I didn't say Shema, or I didn't say Sphira. Another is to turn the watch over. You got to wear watch to do that. Right? You turn the watch over, you look at the time, you notice it's over here. Oh, so, but something that's with you that you won't forget. What other people do is they'll put something on the table, put a set of keys on the table, something like that, because that'll remind them. You clean off the table and the keys are there, you'll remember, oh, I didn't do something. But something to remember would be a good idea in order not to forget it. And usually, it's not just you. Usually, there are more people at the table that have to remember as well, so you're really saving everybody. Now, regarding the question of what night is tonight, and you say what it is, here's the funny thing. If somebody says to you, let's say tonight is the eighth night, and someone says to you, and you haven't counted yet, and someone says to you, what night is tonight?
Eight.
And you say eight. That's fine. You can still count with a bracha. Because you didn't say tonight or today is eight. Hayom. Unless you have to connect the eight to the day. If you don't do that, then you have not counted the Omer. Now, if you say tonight is eight, but you didn't say tonight is eight in the Omer, you didn't say Ba'omer, Ba'omer, you are Yotze. And then you can no longer count with bracha. So, that's not good. But if you just say eight, that's okay. So even though the Mechaber gives you the advice of saying yesterday was seven, but you can also just say eight. Just that you're playing the fire a little bit because you'll make sure not to say tonight is eight or today is eight. Hey, in Eno Yodea HaKeshbin, if you don't know what the correct number is, Upasach Adaita Delisayim Kemoy Sheyishma Mechavero, and then you start counting, and then in mind, you know what, I'll just start counting, and I'll listen to what the guy next to me says, and then I'll fill in the blank. V'shasach Ad Sheyishma Mechavero, and he was quiet until he heard from his friend what night it was, V'siyim Kamohu, then he ended up like him, Yatsa. So in other words, I make the bracha, and then I say Hayom, and I'm listening to Moshe, and I hear him say Shmona Yamim. I say Shmona Yamim Bomer. So if I do that, I am Yotze, but it's B'dievet, because really you're not supposed to make a bracha unless you know what you're making a bracha about. So it's better not to, but you are Yotze if you do that.
Plus
there's a break, which isn't Lechachila either, but you are Yotze if you do that. I'll blame you. Rav, in Pasach Ma'amar Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Adaita Delema Hayom Dalid. If he started saying the bracha and he had in mind to say that tonight is the fourth night, Shehu Savor Shehim Dalid, because he thought that tonight was the fourth night, V'nizker, then he remembered after he said Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam that it wasn't the fourth night; it was really the fifth night. V'siyim Behei. And he ended off with the fifth night. Behem hey, it really is the fifth night. Oh, ibcha, or the other way around. Shehem dalet, it really is the fourth night. Upasach adaita delema dalet, you had in mind when you started to say the fourth night. V'tav asiyem behem, you ended off making a mistake and you said fifth night. Eino chazer mevarch, you do not make a new bracha. And so there's two cases over here, and the Mishnah Berurah points out that all of the Acharim take exception to the second case of the Mechaber. And therefore, Normal of Halacha is not like the Mechaber's second case. But the first case it is. First case is that I said, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, thinking tonight is four, and then I realized before I finished that really tonight is five, and then I said five, I'm Yotze. Even though when I said Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, I had the wrong thing in mind, but I said the correct words. So I'm Yotze. The second case is that I had in mind for the right thing, and then I said the wrong thing. So the Mechaber says, I don't make a new bracha. But the Mishnah Berurah brings most of the Acharim argue with the Mechaber, and you would make a new bracha in that case because you said the wrong words. You got to say the right words, even if you have the wrong thing in mind, but you got to say the right thing. Zion. Shachach v'lo berach kol halayla. If you forgot it, did not make a bracha the entire night. Yisper b'yoyim. You should count during the day. V'loy bracha without a bracha. So even though you've missed the time, but you can still count during the day with a bracha. I'm sorry, without a bracha, thank you. Right. Now, Ches, we're going to come back to this in a moment. Let's read Ches first. Im shachach levarech be'echer mehayamim ben yomishon ben yishayamim. If you forgot to count, if you had to make a bracha, or to count at all, for that matter, one of the days, whether it's the first day or any other day, Sefer b'shar yamim b'loy bracha. Here's your case that all other days you count without a bracha. Avalim ha'masupakim dileg yom echad v'lo sefer. If you are not sure if you missed the day or not, well, Sefer Salmer is only through Rabbanan. So if you're not sure, then yisfar b'shar yamim b'bracha, then you can count the other days with a bracha.
But that was a tzveika, though. Because it's two things. The other one being that it might be a bracha, might be a mitzvah to count each and every night, maybe
right.
It's an individual
mitzvah. Right. Okay, so let's put this all together. So Moshe was pointing out, you mentioned this before, that as soon as the Omer, we have the classic question whether it's one big mitzvah or 49 separate mitzvahs. So if it's 49 separate mitzvahs, then even if I missed a night, I can count the next night with a bracha, because one has nothing to do with the other.
That's right.
But according to the opinion, that it's all one thing. So if I missed one night, then I can no longer make a bracha on the next night because I don't have a complete unit. You need to be counting a complete unit. Now, we know that the mitzvah of Sefirot Ha'omer is to count at night. So I only make a bracha if I count at night. So if I don't remember the entire night, but I do remember during the day, I count without a bracha. But then the following night, I can count with a bracha because I didn't miss a whole day. However, if I miss an entire day, all 24 hours, then the following night I count without a bracha. So on Chol HaMoed, when we had our Chol HaMoed learning over here, Rabbi Shlomo Freundlich, spoke about Sefirot Ha'omer, and he brought up this issue, and he asked the question, like, how do we understand that? How do we understand that, it's a funny thing, is the time for Sefirot Ha'omer only at night, or is it during the day? It seems to be a contradiction. If you tell me that Sefirot Ha'omer is for the entire 24-hour period, then why can't I count with a bracha during the day? And if you tell me that it's only at night, then how come when I count during the day, that's good enough that the next night I can still count with a bracha, that it saves me from missing the whole thing? So how do we understand that? It seems to be like a double standard. The nighttime is the real time for Sefirot Ha'omer, and you can make a bracha. The daytime is the sort of time for Sefirot Ha'omer. You can't make a bracha, but if you count then, it's good enough not to miss the whole night. The next night you can still count with a bracha. How do we understand? It seems to be a dichotomy. How do we understand that? So he had various things to say about it, but one of the svaras he pointed out, bringing from the Rishonim, is an interesting way of thinking. It's just an interesting lumbus. The time for Sefirot Ha'omer is at night. Now, why is it, according to those who say that if you miss, let's say you miss day 8, so day 9 you can't count with a bracha? Why not? So we were saying because it's one big mitzvah. If you miss part of it, then you don't have a complete unit. So he explained it a little differently. What he said is that because when you count 1, 2, 3, 4, counting is in an order. It's a succession. If you go 1, 2, 3, 6, 8, you're not counting. You haven't counted. You're saying random numbers, but you haven't counted anything because you skipped numbers. That's not called counting. Counting is with a seder, with an order. So what he explained is that the way we look at it is that there's the time for Sefirot Ha'omer is at night, and if you miss the night time, then you have not fulfilled the mitzvah of Sefirot Ha'omer for that 24-hour period. If you've missed the night time, even if you remember during the day, if you count during the day, you have not fulfilled the mitzvah of Sefirot Ha'omer for that particular time frame. That's why you count without a bracha during the day. However, you have counted so that the next night you're still counting. So if I missed 8, and I didn't say 8 at night, but I said it during the day, when I get to 9, I'm still counting because I said 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. But if I missed 8 from the entire 24-hour period, then my counting is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 9. 9 is not counting after 7. 9 is only counting if it's after 8. So what the counting during the day accomplishes is not that you got in the mitzvah because you missed it. You had to do it at night. But it accomplishes that you're still counting. The series is still intact. So that the following night I can still count with a bracha. That's the way he explained it. I thought it was a very nice way of explaining it. And it puts it into a new light. Lel Shabbos, the Lel Yom Tov, Mevarchim V'Soifrim, Acher Kiddush V'Reis HaKnesses. So on the night of Shabbos and Yom Tov, then you count after Kiddush in Shul. Because you want to hasten the Kiddush. You always say Kiddush as early as possible so you can bring in the day as early as you can. Uf Matzai Shabbos and Yom Tov, and on Matzai Shabbos and Yom Tov, Kodem Havdalah, then you make the Bracha and count before Havdalah, Acher Kaddish Tiskabel, after Kaddish, because you want to delay saying Havdalah as long as possible to avoid ushering out the day. When Pesach, the last night of Pesach, comes out on Matzai Shabbos, which it did not this year, will it next year? I don't know. That would be where the first day of Pesach is a Shabbos. If the first day of Pesach, the first day of Pesach and last day of Pesach are the same day. So if the first day of Pesach is Shabbos, last day of Pesach is Shabbos, then you end Pesach on a Matzai Shabbos. Aymer Kiddush v'Havdalah. No, I said it wrong. Excuse me. When the eighth day of Pesach is Sunday, is Matzai Shabbos. That's the case over here. When the eighth day of Pesach is Matzai Shabbos. So the Azam of Kiddush v'Havdalah b'Pam Achas. So then you say in Kiddush, you say the famous Kiddush, the Yaknahaz, where you do Kiddush and Havdalah on the same cup of wine. And you do like you do the Bari Morei Aish with the same cup of wine. So when do you count Sfira? Do you count Sfira before that Kiddush or after that Kiddush? Yesh Lispar Kaidim Shemavarchem Al Hakais Veis Haknesses. Then you should make the bracha before the Kiddush and Havdalah. Haga Vim Emo Yain Mitzarech LeKaddish Yaknahaz Ayn LeEl Simreish Tadivav. If you don't have any wine and you need to make this Kiddush look earlier, what he discusses.
So what do you do? Now you say Havdalah when you say Kiddush.
Yeah.
And you discuss after that?
He says do it before.
Well, then it's not nighttime, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, the issue is not whether it's nighttime or not. The issue is what's the proper order.
Understand it.
Yud. You'll tell me whether any of you who have knowledge of this already can speak up. Otherwise, we will explain it in depth. Asr lechol chadash af bezman hazeh. Bein Lechem, Bein Kali, Bein Carmel. You're not allowed to eat Chadash even these days, whether it's bread or Kali or Carmel, which are different forms of grain. Ad Chilas Leil Yod Ches B'Nisan, until the beginning of the night of the 18th of Nisan. Uberet Yisrael Ad Chilas Leil Yod Zayim B'Nisan Eretz Yisrael, until the night of the 17th of Nisan. This is the issue of Yashan and Chadash. You familiar with it?
I don't know
what it is, but I'm not. It was relevant to me when I asked you.
It's sort of more relevant than Israel, but sort of less relevant.
Okay.
So here's how it goes. The halacha is, this is the halacha matar, before we get into what happens today. The halacha matar is, you're not allowed to eat grain that grows in any given year until after the carbon ha'omer is brought. So you grew grain in October. You can't eat that grain until after the carbon ha'omer is brought. The carbon ha'omer is brought on the 16th of Nisan. That's when it's brought. Now, once the carbon is brought, you can eat the grain. Any grain which has taken root 3 days before the Omer becomes mutter through the Omer. So in other words, if I plant wheat on the 10th day of Nisan and it's taken root, then on the 16th of Nisan, it's still on the ground, I don't see the wheat yet, but then the carbon is brought on the 16th of Nisan, 6 days later, that wheat that's in the ground is now mutter. So whenever it harvests, I can eat it right away because the 16th of Nisan came after it had already taken root. But if I plant it after Pesach, even though I harvest it in the summer, I can't eat it till the following Pesach, until the 16th of Nisan. So that's how it works. Now, that's when there's a carbon ha'omer. Say there is no carbon ha'omer. So when there's no carbon ha'omer, you have to wait until the end of the 16th of Nisan. In other words, the 17th of Nisan. And since we live in Chutz Laaretz, then you have to add on another day because we always have a suffix, which is the right day. So you have to wait until the 18th of Nisan in chutzlar. And that's what the Mechaber writes.
This is grains that are grown only in Israel?
That's what Rafi answered. Okay. Now, it applies to the five grains, wheat, barley, spelt, oats, and rye. That's what it applies to. Now, you see, the Shulchan Aruch writes it unequivocally. That's it. You can't eat it. And so it would seem like a pretty binding halacha. Now, there are two major wheat harvests in farming. There's the winter wheat and there is the spring wheat. Those are the two major harvests. Well, spring wheat is harvested in the summer. Winter wheat is harvested in the spring. So those are the two major crops. Winter wheat is almost never a problem because by the time winter wheat is actually harvested, you pass the 16th of Nisan. So, and it's already been planted in the middle of the winter. So it's taken root, and then it grows, and then it's harvested. And so it's usually not an issue, winter wheat. Even if it's harvested before Pesach, but it's not going to be processed by the time it gets milled, you know, etc., it's going to be after Pesach already. And so winter wheat is almost never a problem of Yashan and Chadash. Spring wheat, though, is a problem, because that's planted after the 16th of Nisan, and then it is harvested in the summertime, and it already hits the shelves in the stores in the beginning of the fall. You can already have Chadash grain on the shelves in some products as early as the middle of August. So from then all the way until April, so you get to Pesach, you can have these issues. Now, the question is, well, most of us don't keep it. Don't know anything about these halachas. So what is it? Is it just, we just ignore it? So you have to know the background of it and then to know what the ruling is. The background is that in Europe, the Jews were very destitute, number one. Number two, food was scarce. Wheat was scarce. And therefore, to say that you couldn't eat wheat that was grown all the way until Pesach, you would risk having whole families starve to death throughout the winter. There was nothing to eat. And so the Poskim looked for the opinions that would permit the Chadash in Europe. And there are opinions that permit it. Why are there opinions that permit it? Because there are some opinions that say that it only applies to grains grown in Eretz Yisrael. And some opinions that say it only applies to grains grown by Jews. Now, both those opinions are minority opinions, meaning that in the regular process of halacha, we would say that you can't rely on those opinions, that it applies to all grains everywhere. But because the situation in Europe was so desperate, they relied on the minority opinions. And therefore, since most grain is grown by non-Jews, and grain is grown outside of Eretz Yisrael, so therefore we are lenient. And that was what happened in Europe. In Israel, where it could be a bigger problem, because obviously it's grown in Israel, and many times it's grown by Jews, but Israel almost exclusively is a winter wheat crop. And that's why in Israel, where you would think you'd have the biggest problem of Chadash, you rarely have a problem with Chadash because it's all winter wheat. And so, by the time it's harvested, you've passed Pesach and you're okay. Now, we have come to the United States. And Baruch Hashem, we now live in an affluent society, and there's plenty of food, Baruch Hashem, and things are good. So now, the question was revisited, so now what? Should we go back to the original ruling that Chadash is a problem in America? In other words, that nobody should eat from the spring wheat until the following Pesach. Now, it would mean a whole upheaval in the kashrus industry. Because that means you have to know what flour you're getting. For what? Anytime you use flour, anytime you use barley, cereals that you buy, crackers, pretzels, cakes, I mean, no matter, it's huge what it means to be careful. So the Poskim said that we do not overturn that which has been the minhag in Klal Yisrael for a very, very long time. Perhaps as long as 1,000 years in Europe, they relied on those minority opinions. So to go and say, well, we're going to change things, we don't do that. However, there are those who are
machmir.
They're not saying that you must. They're saying that we'd like to be careful about it, and you know, say the more stringent opinion, which is the majority opinion, and keep it. And so, going way, way back, going back 40 years ago or longer, there have been those who have researched the grain industries, the flour industries, and have printed pamphlets telling people that if you want to be careful, you need to look at the codes on the packages, what do you call it, barcodes in the packages, and if it reads this such and such a code, then you know that it's winter wheat. If it reads such and such a code, then you know it's spring wheat, you've got a problem. So this has been going on for a long time, but it was always a very, very small percentage of people that did it. Very recently, it has become a more popular chumrah. And therefore, it is not uncommon today, especially in large Jewish communities, to hear someone say that I'm careful with Yashan, I'm makbid on Yashan, I'm makbid on Chadash. And therefore, they're more careful. It's all a marketplace thing. In Baltimore today, the bakeries all bake Yashan. Because so many people in Baltimore are careful, then it only makes sense for them, because it's a leg up on the competition. Our bakery is careful. So then they're going to get the chadash, the yashan business. Similarly, the caterers in Baltimore are now careful for the same reason. So the restaurants then are careful. So it kind of balloons, it dominoes in that way. But it's not a chiyuv to do it. It's something which some people are machmir on, it's not a chiyuv to do it. Yeah.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.